listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Greetings, wherever you are on planet Earth or the USA or any particular continent or nation. The truth that we're going to talk about on today's program is applicable to your situation wherever you are, because it's a truth that is based on the Word of God, the inspired, inerrant Word of God, Genesis to Revelation. And when we look at Genesis to Revelation and we study it, and then we compare and contrast what God's Word is saying, then we develop what's called a biblical worldview. Now, sadly to say, most evangelical Christians don't have a biblical worldview. And they don't have a biblical worldview because, whether by choice or circumstance, usually it's choice, they have chosen not to expose themselves to teachers, teachings, books, and other input that would contain knowledge that would give them power and wisdom, and I want to emphasize the supernatural ability to overcome problems. You know, this is something that I thought about, and when I say those words, what I'm really saying, but I don't say it because people immediately get the wrong idea. You know, the Bible tells us to meditate on the Word of God. Now, most likely you have been meditating on the Word of God, because anytime you are contemplating the Word of God, anytime you're thinking about the Word of God, anytime you're bouncing a Bible verse around your head and trying to figure out how that works in life and reality, well, what you're really doing is you're meditating on the Word of God. And that is a good thing, because it develops your body, soul, and spirit. And it also helps you to activate the mind of Christ, which is kind of, well, the mind of Christ is thinking like Jesus Christ. But the mind of Christ also is kind of like God's gift to you. It's like God's supercomputer to you that you can access by faith. But it just doesn't come from nowhere. You don't reach into the twilight zone to develop the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ, first and foremost, comes from reading the Word of God, studying the Word of God, meditating upon the Word of God, and then as you study, meditate on the Word of God, review the Word of God, think about the Word of God, you develop, you renew your mind with God's Word. But there will be no renewal of your mind without reading and studying and meditating on God's Word. And that's a very critical principle to understand. You cannot renew your mind in Christ without reading, meditating on the Word of God on a regular basis. In addition to that, you cannot renew your mind with God's Word unless you have the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of truth, dwelling in you. And that, of course, happens when you're born again. The other thing to understand is that Jesus teaches us that one of the purposes of the Holy Spirit is to function as a teacher to us. So you and I have our own private teacher that goes with us wherever we're going. And if we listen and do the things that God asks us to do, then the Holy Spirit in us will teach us all truth on God's Word, and then truth about the world, the reality that we live in synchronization with God's word. And therefore, we have the mind of Christ, and we develop a biblical worldview. It's when you have a biblical worldview that God is then able to equip you with power, both intellectually, and you shouldn't be afraid of that word, by the way. Intellectual simply means somebody who uses their brain. I mean, it's really simple. The problem is that most of the people who have walked away from God or who have rejected God and God's word in our culture and world today, probably the majority of them would classify themselves as atheists or humanists, but they have stolen the title of intellectual for themselves and people who think like they do. So you very rarely see the word Christian used in the same sentence as intellectual, because Christians are not thought to be intellectuals by our culture. And once again, that's because we have allowed people who don't believe in God, people who reject God, we've allowed them to steal the land, to steal the territory that God has given us. Christians should be known for being the wisest, most intelligent, knowledgeable people on planet Earth. But that comes with a price, and the tragedy is that there's not a whole lot of Christians today who are willing to pay the price. They're not willing to study. They're not willing to read. They're not willing to meditate on the Word or read the Word or develop a biblical worldview. And why is this important? It's all important. There's nothing more important except for salvation. Because as I've said repeatedly, that's why I titled my book, we are now in the greatest battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world. The great spiritual battle in the last days, and we're in the last days, or the end times. The great spiritual battle in the last days primarily is waged in the battlefield of the hearts and minds of people. So there's a raging Armageddon-like struggle. And I'm not saying that the struggle inside the human mind and heart and brain and imagination is the biblical Armageddon. I'm not saying that, but I'm simply saying that the intensity of the struggle and the war for souls that is going on planet Earth and in the United States and every other nation on Earth right now, the intensity of that struggle and conflict that's going on inside every man and woman is on the level of an Armageddon-type struggle. You say, how can you say that? Because I'm going to be blunt, and please don't take offense. Where have you been? I mean, man, like, wake up! The Bible says, wake, sleeper, or awake from your slumber. Most of the church in America and in the world is asleep. And when you're asleep, you're not aware of the fact that you're in a raging spiritual battle. Right now in America, our very future is being determined now by the raging spiritual warfare that's going on internally in the hearts and minds of people. The same thing is true regarding the world and every other nation on earth. And so the most minimal act of worship that we can worship the Lord with. You know, we can worship the Lord with songs and praises and biblical fellowship and gathering together in Jesus' name. And we can worship the Lord in many ways. But developing a biblical worldview so that you're equipped, so that God can trust you to be a spiritual warrior, not a spiritual victim. God didn't create you from before the beginning of time to be a victim. But we have really, in many respects, a victim mentality church versus a victorious church or a victorious Christian, as the Bible talks about. We don't have really biblical church services. We have sensitivity workshops, and we have an endless parade of inner healing type of workshops. So the normative Christian is like in the position of always being in some kind of victim condition of which he or she needs to be healed from. Now, I don't know about you, but there's something wrong with that picture, especially when God has called us as believers to be active and to be his light in the last days. There's something wrong with this victim type picture. Don't get me wrong. It's not that I don't have compassion, because I do have compassion. It's not that I don't have compassion and love and concern for all the people, and there's a huge number of people who have been wounded since childhood, abused, wounded, crushed, their hearts broken, their minds broken through the very negative things that they've experienced in this life. Of course I'm compassionate about that. Of course, I have love and concern. Of course, I want to see all of those people have an opportunity to be healed. Of course I do, and so do you. But the problem is that at a certain point, a person has to move beyond the victim category and start entering into the overcoming category. And I'm not talking about some magical Disneyland-like overcomer category or a overly idealistic overcomer category. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a biblical overcomer category where God's word says, "My grace or unmerited favor is sufficient for thee." And you know, sometimes God doesn't answer the prayers that we pray in the way that we want them to be answered. Sometimes God always answers prayer, but sometimes God doesn't answer prayer in the way that we would like. And so God's word says to us in situations like that, "My grace or my unmerited favor is sufficient for thee." In other words, God is not always promising to 100% rescue you 100% of the time from every problem that you're dealing with. Sometimes God's answer to prayer is he gives you the grace and the power to endure it, and eventually you may overcome it. But there are times when you don't, quote, overcome it. You are given the grace and the power to supernaturally endure it, but you're not wiped out by it. You persevere. So, right now, what's happening today in the hearts and minds of people in terms of the raging spiritual battle that's going on inside of them. That's going to determine what happens in the future. So the future of America is being created now. The future of the world is being created now by the choices, by the will of his people and his church. You know, let's just take America for a moment. America is having to endure many adversarial conditions, and there's a tremendous amount of, suffering, pain, anguish going on in America and many other places in the world. So the question is, why is that happening? Is it just happening because of random chance? Is it just happening because of some unforeseen circumstance? No, it's happening because there were things that specifically and directly caused these negative things to arise in our lives, our culture, and whatever nation we're living in. Another thing, in other words, certain actions were taken, certain choices were made, and these choices and actions actually activated and brought about the negative conditions which are causing so many people to suffer. And why is that? Why is that? Is it God's will? Not necessarily. Or is it that the Bible tells us that whatever we sow, we reap? Whatever kind of seed we plant, that's what we will harvest. You're planting for corn, don't expect watermelons. You know what I'm saying? We sow seeds of the future, both in our individual lives and our collective lives as a people. And this is where the truth about a biblical worldview comes into place. Right now, there are so many people in America who are making very serious decisions about what kind of choices, what kind of actions, or whatever they're going to take to deal with things. But when all these people make these decisions to embark on certain actions and thoughts and beliefs, the all-important question is, on what intellectual foundation or what mental foundation are they building their lives upon, attempting to build their nation upon, and attempting to build their future upon? What is it that they're using as a platform in order to step into the future? And you will find that right now, even as we speak, that the largest percentage of Christians and the largest percentage of Americans in just about any group, racial group, ethnic group, whatever, the vast majority of people in America, and this includes Christians, do not have a biblical worldview. They have never developed a biblical worldview. As such, they're making these life, all important life decisions for themselves, for their children, for our nation. They're making these all important decisions based on a warped or faulty view of reality and a faulty view of the way the world works. In other words, instead of using biblical truths to develop a biblical worldview where they learn how to analyze their reality, their challenges, their problems, their situation, instead of analyzing all of that stuff through the perspective of biblical truth, and then making decisions, taking action, adopting beliefs based on a biblical worldview. Instead of doing that, which is what God wants, they are looking to other worldviews other than a biblical worldview. They're looking to the ideas from other worldviews to develop action plans, ideas, strategies, solutions for their problems, their family's problems, the nation's problems, and so on and so forth. And the problem with this, where this becomes very dangerous, is that when you're basing your life on other worldviews besides a biblical worldview, you are really choosing to base your life not on the truth, because the truth exists inside the biblical worldview. Truth is in the biblical worldview. So people are rejecting the truth and the biblical worldview. And they're rejecting the truth, and they're believing in and trusting other worldviews, which are not truth, which are in fact lies and deception. They're basing their lives, their decisions, their actions, etc., on lies and deception. Now, it's obvious what the result is going to be. The result is going to be anarchy, chaos, crisis, massive problems in families, massive problems in the society and culture, massive problems in the political realm, massive problems everywhere. Why? Because the ideas that you're using to construct your life and construct the destiny of your nation, etc., the ideas that you are choosing to use are based on lies, falsehoods, and deception. And therefore, the outcome is disaster, death, struggle, deprivation, slavery of all kinds. In other words, bad things happen. Bad things happen, and bad things don't happen by accident. Bad things happen because when you accept and believe bad ideas, you end up with bad consequences. When you accept and believe good ideas and truthful ideas, you end up with good consequences. Really, from purely biblical terminology, the worldview you choose to believe in is going to bring about a blessing or a curse on your life, the life of your nation, community, the life of your family, children, grandchildren, etc. So your worldview is all important. And not only that, God teaches us that over and over and over again in the Bible. Deuteronomy 28, for example, blessings and curses. So we have so many people who think they're Christians, or who are Christians, I suppose. And we have so many people in our culture making the most insane and irrational and crazy decisions. And the reason they're making these crazy and irrational and insane decisions is they're making them on the basis of a faulty worldview. Let's just, you know, and then they send their kids to be brainwashed into accepting this faulty worldview. Look, I understand economics. I understand that most people can't afford Christian schools or private schools or whatever. I understand all that. What I don't understand is apathy and doing nothing in the face of evil. That's what I don't understand. And if you love someone, like most Christians claim to do, you're not just going to go along with a bad program. You're going to lovingly confront them to rethink their position, to reject the bad ideas, and start accepting and standing up for the good ideas. That's what you're going to do if you love them. Because true love confronts. True love is never passive. True love confronts. I'm not talking about in a hostile, you know, crazy way. I'm talking about in a loving way. So if you begin by sending your child to or through an educational system, which is essentially built to brainwash them and to indoctrinate them. And everybody would agree with you if they bothered to develop a biblical worldview. So from the earliest ages, your child is being brainwashed or programmed with a false worldview that begins by teaching them in many sneaky ways. You know, you take the kids, go out, the young kids in school go out on a field trip to a planetarium or an aquarium or a zoo or all kinds of things. Okay, and these are young kids. And so they go to these things like zoos and all these other things, right? And then they're blasted with videos and pictures and animation. The whole thing becomes a sneaky pretense. A trip to the zoo becomes a sneaky pretense to instill the theory of evolution in them. How do I know? Because I was with my kids, or I brought my kids to the zoo and stuff like that when they were young. And I would hear, you know, they would have the zoo girl or zoo guy dressed up kind of like in some kind of like camping explorer outfit. And they would walk the kids through the zoo, but they would keep sneaking in these sentences or showing them exhibits which were pounding evolution into their minds. And they'd say it many, many different ways. But the kids got it. The kids were being programmed. And what they wanted the kids to believe was that mankind came about through evolution. And evolution is a process of complete random chance, which means there's no meaning. It's the same as if they were sitting on a stool holding up a bullhorn and talking to the kids, and there's this blasting voice coming out of the bullhorn, which is saying, there's no purpose for your life. You're here by accident. There is no God. That's what they're saying to them. They're saying it all kinds of ways. Because when you're telling a kid over and over again that they're here by accident, random chance, and that mankind, and that eventually means them, came about over 200 or 300 million years to through a random, accidental evolutionary process where we evolved, let's say, from a pebble orbiting Saturn, and it carried a molecule on it, which landed in tree leaf on Earth, and then after 200 million years of different species and stuff, man evolved into man as he or she is today. And then they don't say that that evolution's a theory, which means it's not proven. They teach it as if it was a fact. And the purpose of teaching kids evolution is it's subterfuge. The real agenda in teaching kids evolution is to program them into believing that their lives have no meaning or purpose. Now, that's a worldview, and it's also a lie. It's a total lie to teach children or adults that your life has no purpose. Your life has no plan or purpose. That's not just some casual throwaway words. What's your programming into children when you tell them over and over again, and adults, your life has no purpose. Your life has no meaning. You were created by evolutionary chance and accident. That means there is no God. That means there is no creator, capital C. That means there is no resurrection or Jesus. That means there's no such thing as absolute right and absolute wrong or morals. You see, by destroying savagely, and this is an example of the greatest battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world. When you destroy savagely in mind and heart and the imagination of children or adults, you destroy any notion about the truth of the living God's existence. When you obliterate that and replace it with a complete lie from the pit of hell and darkness that every man and woman is the product of evolutionary random chance, you know, Darwin's theory of evolution. That's an act of spiritual warfare of the highest level happening inside the hearts and minds of children and adults. Because that leads, their worldview leads right into all kinds of things, such as where they will spend eternity and whether or not they will be saved. That's where those thoughts lead to. Because you're not going to take the offer of salvation by faith in Christ. You're not going to take that seriously if you believe that there is no God. If you believe that it's a scientific fact that there is no God, and that it's a scientific fact that we came about through accident in evolution. If you believe that those are scientific facts, then you're not going to spend 20 seconds thinking about salvation, the need to be forgiven of your sins, where you'll spend eternal life, is there a heaven and a hell? All those all important questions, which will determine whether that child or adult is going to live eternally with Jesus Christ in heaven, and you, or will they go to their graves rejecting Christ? And what would cause them to reject Christ? Well, all kinds of things would cause them to reject Christ, including being brainwashed into believing that there is no God, and that mankind is here by random chance and accident. evolution. If you really have been hypnotized to believe that, then you're not going to ask God to save you, to forgive you of your sins in prayer, because you've been brainwashed to discount all of that, to reject all of that. So this is why developing a biblical worldview is all important. It is all important. And this is why we are in the greatest battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world. We're in the last days, and there is a raging spiritual battle going inside every human being, including you, me, our children, grandchildren, people we know, etc., etc. There's a raging spiritual battle going on between a biblical worldview and, let's say, a humanist worldview that doesn't believe in God, for example. There's a spiritual warfare. And the way the spiritual warfare plays out is kids are taken to these day trips to the zoo, the planetarium, some exhibit to see something. But in reality, what they're seeing is they're being propagandized. They're being told that evolution is true. Just look at nature. Look at our chart here of the monkey becoming an ape and the ape becoming a human being. Look at the bone we have here of a dinosaur. And they're never even sure whether it is a bone of a dinosaur. And look at what we have here, you know. But they're using all of that as a pretense in indoctrinating your children in evolution. But indoctrinating your children in evolution is intentionally and simultaneously an all-out attack against the knowledge of God in their lives. When you're slamming somebody's mind filled with lies about they are the descendants of monkeys, then they reject the idea that there's a plan and a purpose for their lives as individuals, and that God knew them before the world began, and God created them for such a time as this. See, this is a war of ideas, but whoever wins this war, the devil or God, over individual people, of course, the people have to choose, that's going to determine whether they are born again and enter the kingdom of heaven or not. That's really the most important thing about life. So I want you to think about that with me. And I want you to think about the fact that this ministry, Paul McGuire Ministries and Paradise Mountain Church, our goal, our objective is to be blunt, get inside people's heads and win the greatest battle for their hearts and minds in the history of the world, so that they can be saved by Christ, so that they can live in eternity with Christ, so that they can be set free by the truth. We're in a war, and anyone who ventures out to use ideas, tools of communication, or whatever to communicate that truth, you've entered the warfare. And it's not just some ambiguous warfare. We're not talking about militant warfare. We're talking about spiritual warfare. So even as I talk to you now, people's names and faces, things like that, float through your mind. And you think about people you know, friends, acquaintances, your children and grandchildren, their spouses, etc. All kinds of faces of people you know or have met loom up in your mind when we talk about this, because you ask yourself the question, are they really saved or are they saved? And you have a concern, which is good. You have a concern for their salvation because you love them, you care about them, and you want to do everything you can possibly do to make sure that they are saved and that they will enter heaven. You're concerned about that, and you should be. And that, when you think about people, then you need to do what you can, you know, in terms of praying for those people. Prayer warfare, praying for them. Making yourself available by God to communicate the truth to them. And when you do that, you want to be in contact with God at a really sensitive level where before you choose to approach somebody or before you choose to talk about the Lord, salvation, the Bible, before you do any of that, you always want to make sure that you're doing it in synchronization with the Holy Spirit, that you're doing it in the power and the timing of the Holy Spirit. You're just not doing it out of guilt feelings or fear feelings. You're doing it because the Spirit of God is moving on you to do it. The Spirit of God is energizing you to do it. The Spirit of God is anointing you to do it. And as you're trying to decide whether or not to bring a topic up or whatever, you're waiting on the Holy Spirit to tell you whether to walk through the door or not. Timing is everything. And you just don't want to crash into somebody's mind and start talking about salvation when their head may be, you know, in horrible turmoil about some tragedy in their life. No, no. You don't just humanly decide, oh, well, that would be a good time to tell them about Jesus. The wisdom of whether or not it would be a good time to tell them about Jesus, you want to get that guidance and wisdom from God, because only God knows the answer. So when you feel the Holy Spirit pushing you or exhorting you to bring up a particular topic, then you listen to the Lord as you're speaking to someone, and you want to speak what God's putting in your heart. You just don't want to blast people with words. You want to speak what God is putting in your heart, and you want to speak in the flow and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And if do it in that way, then you'll see results. If results, perhaps immediately or perhaps later, but you'll definitely see results because you're doing it in the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit versus just doing it out of your mind. So the purpose of our ministry is to do that. The reason we have these programs where I'll throw up ideas or conflicts or whatever is to challenge your mind, to challenge you for the purpose of equipping you in reaching people. And it's also designed to challenge people who listen and win them to Christ by using somewhat unconventional terminology, a somewhat unconventional approach, and one that you can't easily dismiss. The goal is to win people to Christ, not to lose people to Christ. So that's what we're all about. And we do that. We do that because people like you have chosen to partner with us. People like you have chosen to be prayer warriors for us, chosen to be people to send our messages far and wide, and you've chosen to be people that make it happen through your contributions and donations. Because you've chosen to put your energies, your gifts, your talents, your resources, because you've chosen to put them into energy and motion through the form of a ministry, then you are sharing in the reward for salvation, for winning people to Jesus Christ. And the Bible very clearly tells us about the soul winner's crown that will be given to people who have been faithful in soul winning when they meet Jesus Christ. And there are other rewards that God gives out for faithful service. So the point is, God promises to reward us and bless us, but just out of plain old love of God in our hearts, how can anybody really has Jesus living in their hearts be passive or indifferent regarding the internal struggle and conflicts that are going on in people's hearts and minds right now? If you have the love of God in you, which most of you do, you have a compassion, you have a concern, you have a burden, you have an inner desire to reach out and be used of God to rescue someone. And anyone who has ever been obedient to God in that area has felt the amazing peace, tranquility, blessing, and you've experienced the presence of the Lord in a very rich way whenever you step out and obey Him in these areas. I know that I have, and I know that you have. So there's no experience like it. The peace of God that passes all understanding, presence of the Holy Spirit, you can actually feel and experience God's favor and blessing when you choose to step out by faith and reach someone for Christ. It just, there's nothing like it. It's an incredible experience. So that's our burden, and that should be your burden also. Because we can't at this moment in time look inside people's brains and watch what they're thinking or whatever. In actuality, we do have technology right now that can do that, or if it can't do it fully, it's getting very close. Technology is available now and is operational now, which is so sophisticated that it enables computers, etc., to actually read the minds of people. It can read the emotional state of people. It can actually see to a certain degree the thoughts and memories and images inside people's heads. It can actually hear the audio from memories that happened in the past. I know some of you think that's like, well, I'm making it up, that science fiction. but I'm not making it up, and it's not science fiction. That's how far we have developed our technology. We're already into that area of science and technology. We're simply developing it to its maximum. I mean, the world is changing in lightning speed, and things which at one time seemed the realm of science fiction and something so far out is no longer in the realm of science fiction. It's now in the realm of reality. And how far it is along in the realm of reality, that's very difficult to determine because many of these things are not generally known to the public because they are developed by military agencies, and their existence is classified material because this is the most cutting edge technology on Earth, but it's real. For example, there are already and has been in existence for decades what is called a computer brain interface, where through electrodes and through wires you can attach from like the skull of somebody, you know, a living skull, top of their head, you can attach electrodes surgically with wires which are connected to a computer. And there can be all kinds of communication that goes back and forth from a person with the electrodes and the computer. And so that's called a computer brain interface. Now they're working on, and when they say working on, for all I know, they have it actually completed. But let's just be somewhat cautionary and say, they are now also working on a Wi-Fi version of a computer brain interface where you can use satellite to the human brain or like your cell phone signal to the human brain, 5G to the human brain. So you're using wireless technology to transmit communications between the human brain and the computer. Now, that's something, one would think that's something of the future, but the reality is it's no longer in the future. It's now, and they're being developed now. So, the critical thing is to understand is the world that we live in, because it is the last days, is in tremendous turmoil, incredible transformation and change, and everything, to one degree or another, is changing all around us, and it's doing it very quickly. The norms of society, the customs, the morals, the beliefs, the behavior, the fashions, I mean, go on and on. Our society and societies of planet Earth are changing with light speed. And if you've been alive for any period of time at all, you can remember and recall all the changes that have occurred technologically and otherwise in our lifetime. I mean, what is now considered normal, on television, and I'm talking about, you know, like regular TV series, etc. I'm not talking about some paid channel or whatever. The content of most of the television shows that are considered totally acceptable by the average American contain content, visual content, idea content, behavior content, verbal content that is, nobody blinks at today, but they would have been outraged and upset and shocked if they had seen this 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, or more. Because through the process of repetition, you can transform people and transform a society by simply sending a message to people about anything. It could be a political message, it could be a cultural message, it could be a message regarding acceptable behavior. It could be a message dealing with what is acceptable in terms of physical intimacy and the whole rule of, not rule, the morality is non-existent for a lot of people, but the whole area of sexual morality, as it was once called. So when you're sending out messages about what the normal is, and you repeat these visual messages in the form of scenes and sitcoms and dramas, etc., and you keep repeating these messages over and over again, but you do it in different ways. Okay, so you have within the dialogue or within the action plot of a television show, you can give across all kinds of messages of what, quote, normal behavior is. And you do that on every show that airs, in all different shows. But now you're talking about hundreds of shows, hundreds of authority figures, hundreds of so-called TV stars or movie stars, and they're all signaling out messages repetitively. Repetition is the key to brainwashing. Repetitively, over and over again, people see an habitual messaging regarding all kinds of things. So as this is seen over and over again, which is called repetition, you then begin the brainwashing process on the average person, because brainwashing, as I talk about in my books like Conquering Matrix and The Prophecy of the Future of America, Volume 1 and 2, brainwashing occurs due to following a certain scientific procedure. So the basic formula for brainwashing is usually pain, drugs, hypnosis, or pain, shock, crisis, hypnosis, and then repetition. Pain, drugs, hypnosis, repetition. Repetition goes hand in hand with hypnosis. So you need to understand that this process exists, first of all. You need to know that it exists with some documentation. Somebody's going to think you're crazy. And then you lose the argument. You lose your authority. That's why you need to read, study, and develop your mind so people can't dismiss you. So you can be effective for the Lord. So by repeating these messages over and over again, they will go into the subconscious mind. People will forget to a large degree the conscious memories, because those television or film images and audio, yeah, you're consciously aware of it when you're watching it, but you're not consciously aware of the fact that it's burying itself in your subconscious mind. And once it goes into your subconscious mind, it starts to control you. Because when a command or a message or a set of values is inserted into the subconscious mind, that's how it gets the power to program you and control you. And you may not ever remember being programmed or controlled, but you were. And so you don't remember why you believe certain things. You just do. But if you were able to trace back and look at your life and examine it, you would notice that you have been going through a process where external forces have inputted your mind with ideas and beliefs and behaviors and actions using the classical formula of scientific mind control. And so people are changing and transforming, but not randomly. We have at the top in our society people that would be called social engineers, or as Aldous Huxley called it, the scientific dictatorship. People that are using science, neuropsychiatry, biology, psychology, and many other sciences to shape and mold your mind, your habits, your opinions, your actions, and your beliefs. In other words, most people, without realizing it, have been programmed and continue to be programmed. We're going to talk more about this in a moment and what you can do about it. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. This is Paul McGuire. You know, most people, Christians especially, when you start to elevate the level of your conversation, and when you start to get into what could be termed heavy truths, you know, intense stuff like spiritual warfare or brainwashing or whatever, that's not the average realm of conversation. So when you get into it, there's a lot of people that they just can't take hearing the truth. Hearing the truth is too shocking for them. Hearing the truth is too threatening to them, that the minute you start to bring up or communicate the truth to them, they, like, they're on autopilot and they just turn the switch of their mind into the off position. They just turn their minds off. And, you know, this is because the human mind resists change. Tragically, it often resists growth. And there's a psychological principle which is very much at work, which is whatever people have been programmed to believe that their norm is, that's where they want to stay. That's where they want to park mentally. They want to stay in that safety zone of what they've been taught and programmed to believe. So, for example, if you've been programmed and taught your entire life that we're the product of Darwin's theory of evolution, well, when you hear the truth about the fact that the personal living God of the universe, the Creator, created us for a purpose and plan, we're initially threatened by that. When somebody first talks to you about the reality of life, like what's really happening, not what you think is happening, but what's really happening. People can sometimes be frightened, and they want to shut that door. And that, by the way, is part of the programming process. Part of the programming process involves hypnotically conditioning people so that they will, on autopilot, turn their minds off and not think about things, even when they're true. The programmers want them to be stuck in a particular box, and they don't want them to leave that box of their mind, because they don't. It's all about control. It's all about power. And you see, unless you understand this, you will never understand the first thing about life or reality. You will just be one of the clueless billions of people who basically function like zombies as they drift through life. The fact of the matter is that you can be, and many people are, programmed, hypnotically, conditioned, whatever you want to call it, hypnotized into believing certain things through conditioning. But the purpose of that conditioning is that there exists a hidden force that does not want you free. And this hidden force wants to control and dominate your life. And the only way that this hidden force can do that is by covertly conditioning you, hypnotizing you, brainwashing you, however you want to use the terminology. So when you first bring that up to someone, even though it's true, even though you can document it with overwhelming evidence scientifically, I mean, for crying out loud, all you have to do is look up the academic research papers that scientists publish, and they're available if you hunt on the internet, and you can read the writings of recognized physicists and psychologists and doctors who publish their papers, their research, and their theories. And you can read the latest cutting-edge scientific theories and research, like up to the, not up to the minute, but within a couple of days after a scientist has published something, you can read it. You don't have to wait till it shows up 30 years later in a magazine. And when you read that stuff, which I do in researching documentation, you will discover that everything I just said to you has been written about openly with data, with statistics, by some scientists. Now, they're not going to use words like mind control or brainwashing. They're going to use the acceptable terminology like conditioning, social engineering. You know, that's the acceptable language. But if you read their studies carefully, they're very clearly revealing to you the fact that they know and understand the science of brainwashing and mind control and how it works on a scientific basis. And this has been understood, really. It began to take off in the 1800s, in the late 1800s, mid-1800s, it began to take off. And it has never ceased taking off since then, and it's going at lightning speed today. So here in America, and this is where everything comes into critical focus. Here in America, or whatever nation you live in, European or wherever, Australia and New Zealand. Here in America, the average person is thinking thoughts that are not really their own. The average person, and yes, sadly and tragically, the average Christian is in a state of consciousness, which could be called they're under scientific mind control, or they've been brainwashed, or they're in some level of a hypnotic state. That is the consciousness of the average person and the average Christian. They don't even know that such technology exists. And they certainly don't know that they've been subjected to it. And they're a product of it. Because the idea that one could be living in a nation or a society like America or whatever, and have been alive, let's say, for 50 years, and has been brainwashed for 50 years, but didn't know it, and somebody tries to bring you out from under that brainwashing, that's so shocking that a lot of people shut down, especially Christians. Now, how does that happen? How did that happen? It's certainly not a good thing. It happened because all the individuals who are in some kind of state of brainwashing, they were vulnerable. They were soft targets to brainwashing because they chose to never develop a biblical worldview inside their mind. When you choose or when you allow yourself to be conditioned not to have a biblical worldview, and you allow yourself to be conditioned and programmed into having a humanistic worldview, where there is no God, then you have given the control of your brain and mind over to somebody else besides you and God. And so you've got billions of people across planet Earth who really are somewhat zombie-like. You know, you can be a zombie in terms of your consciousness and dress well and publicly present yourself well, and you can sound rational, sound intelligent, but secretly you've been zombified. That is the reality regarding billions of people on planet Earth right now. They've been, what do you think dumbed down is? Dumbed down is tuning you down from human and tuning you into being a zombie. So this is not why God created you. And God gave you a plan, a call, and a destiny. He knew you before the foundation of the world. And he called you for such a time as this. It's a plan and purpose for you. And one of the primary plans and purposes for you is to communicate the truth of Jesus Christ and develop a biblical worldview in people who need it so that they can be set free, so that they can be saved. And that's what it's about. Because it was never God's intention from the beginning, starting with the Garden of Eden, it was never God's intention for the human race to be billions of zombies who are brainwashed. The only reason that happened was Adam and Eve rejected God's word and accepted the serpent's or Lucifer's plan, and rejected God's word, and Adam and Eve activated the law of sin and death, which caused the fall of man. And that means man's psychology, man's consciousness, man's brain also is fallen. And the temporary god of this world, Satan or Lucifer, exploited the fall of man and use that as an opportunity to enslave mankind. And that's the spiritual root of everything we're talking about right now. So, because time is running out, and by that I mean we're in the last days, each one of us, we want to make sure we're doing everything we can to obey the Lord and fulfill the call of God. Again, that's the purpose of Paul McGuire Ministries and Paradise Mount Church, is to use everything at our disposal, and we want to expand that to reach people for Jesus Christ, to deprogram them, if you will. Because if you really love people, true love confronts lovingly. You want to confront people in love. We try to do that on the internet, on audio, on video, on radio, etc. And we are doing that because you love, you care, and you stand with us as a prayer warrior, or by sending our messages far and wide, or you stand with us by your donations or contributions. Because you love and you care and you share the burden that we have. So I want to thank you for partnering with me in this, what I consider to be a life and death mission. You know, the time may come quicker than we realize when the opportunity to communicate like this over the internet, over radio, over TV, or whatever, that freedom may completely disappear. We don't know how long we have that freedom. So we do have that freedom to a significant degree now. So we need to use it while it's there. And that's why I ask you to join with me. And join with me with all your hearts and let it be fervent. Because, you know, the clock is ticking. And God has given us a job to do. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us.